So today the wedding mass, one of the most beautiful masses of the church, one of the many beautiful masses. There are many beautiful masses, but this is certainly one of the most beautiful little ceremonies of the church. On the sacred event of the Holy Union between Mrs. Gale and Mr. Timothy Gresham, I'd like to be the first to congratulate Mr. and Mrs. Gresham on their first day united together, and that we hope that all of us at the end will see them united in the kingdom of heaven. And so it's a beautiful day, the day of their first union, and it's a privilege for me to be able to do this sacred marriage. Several reasons. Of course, it's always a privilege to do a marriage of a couple that is a good couple, that wants to be pleasing to God and wants to live a good life, as this couple does. But also because Miss Gale, you may not know it, but she is my daughter. I don't want to scandalize anyone, but nonetheless, Miss Gale is my daughter, because a few years ago, I poured the water over her head and had the privilege of baptizing her and receiving her into the church. It is especially by the sacrament of baptism that we priests are called Father, because we bring children into the kingdom of God. And one of those children that I've had a privilege to bring into the kingdom of God is Miss Gale. And so it is a beautiful day to be able to unite my daughter with her new husband. It is a beautiful day. Beautiful day for the church, but also a beautiful day for me personally. It is a privilege. And Tim, it's nice for you to be here, but you're not that important. So in any case, just to put things in perspective. But so it is a beautiful day. I'd like to therefore read the epistle for this mass of the marriage, for the nuptial mass. The epistle for the mass of the wedding, a nuptial mass, is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Brethren, let wives be subject to their husbands as to the Lord, because a husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, being himself Savior of the body. But just as the church is subject to Christ, so also let wives be to their husbands in all things. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and delivered himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, cleansing her in the bath of water by means of the word, in order that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she might be holy and without blemish. Even thus ought husbands also to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh. On the contrary, he nourishes and cherishes it, as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body, made from his flesh and from his bones. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, I mean in reference to Christ and to the church. However, let each one of you also love his wife just as he loves himself, and let the wife obey her husband. And then please stand for the gospel, which is taken from that according to St. Matthew, chapter 19. At that time, there came to Jesus some Pharisees testing him and saying, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause?" But he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that the Creator from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' Therefore now they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So a few considerations here in this sacred and holy union. that we all have a privilege to participate in and witness. One of the reasons why a Catholic marriage is such a beautiful thing is that it creates a unity in a world that is divided. It gives security in a world that is completely insecure. It gives hope in a world in which we see little of it. The unity is between Christ and His church. The security is that Mr. Timothy and Miss Gale will always be together until the day that they die. And so this is a sacred day, and we witness these things, and there is hope, because we see in them a future. Not only a future for this couple that God just joins in a happy way today, but a future for our world, that God will bless them with children, and not just children that are going to be born by the course of nature, but children that are going to live a good life, and children that are going to go to heaven, and they're going to be made for God, and they're going to help this world become a better place, because they're going to carry Christ in it. And so it is a sacred day, and it is a holy union. And what I do consider today, a little bit concerning the sacredness, a little bit concerning the holiness of this beautiful thing that is called marriage. Today we will consider the centerpiece. And the centerpiece of all things that fill us with hope in this life, the centerpiece of unity and our only security is Mary. The Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the Mother of God. She is the greatest work of His creation. What would you do, says Bishop Sheen? What would you do if you were given the power to make your own mother? How would you form her? Well, God has the power to make His own mother. And when He made His own mother, He made her the most perfect of all beings, so that every being, even those beings that are far greater than human beings, such as the angels, could look down, or look up, or look across. And no matter which direction they look, they can find an example in Mary. She is the glue of our lives. And if there is going to be peace in this sacred union between Mr. Timothy and Miss Gale, it will be found in Mary. Why, it is a very beautiful and simple ceremony that is not strictly part of the marriage service, that is not required and not done at all services of wedding. But it is the ceremony of Miss Gale bringing flowers to the altar of the Blessed Virgin Mary and placing the flower of her heart, the symbol of her heart, and all that she has carried up to this day, and giving it all to the Blessed Virgin that she may keep it. And when she walked away from this flower, taking the flower of her virginity, the flower of her life, then in a certain way it will be taken away by Mr. Timothy. But it will never be taken away, because the Blessed Virgin is like any mother. Every gift that she receives from her children, she preserves. You know that a little child does a drawing, makes a little drawing of a house or a drawing of a flower, and he can never paint within the lines. And he brings this to his mother, and he says, "Mommy, I want you to have this." So he gives this painting, this little drawing, to his mother. Now, if he did not give it to his mother, what would happen to it? It would be lost, and it would be destroyed. But because he has given it to his mother, she'll take it first and put it on the refrigerator, the universal place of all things given by children. That's why as children grow, you have to get bigger refrigerators. And so she'll take it and put it on the refrigerator. And she will keep it. And she will preserve it all of her days. And when Miss Gale went before the Blessed Virgin this morning, knelt down for a few moments, and put the flower of her virginity and the flower of all that is good inside of her heart, inside of her body, into the Blessed Virgin Mary's hands, that she may keep it, she may be sure that the Blessed Virgin will preserve all those things. And she will keep them close to both Mr. Timothy and Gale. She will remind Gale throughout the remainder of her days that she must remain pure. She must remain a lady of virtue. She must grow in love. Love given always increases. When you give someone money, somehow you end up having less of it. But when you give someone love, somehow you have more. And it's the way of love. And the way of love is the way of the mother and the way of the wife. And Miss Gale, if you wish to be a good mother and a good wife, you will always stay close to Mary. She will be your example. Our life, our Catholic life, is a beautiful life. But it is very simple. We are not complex creatures, and we do not need complexity. We only need a mother. When we are sick, we do not need to know what the sickness is. We simply go to mother, and she kisses our wound, and it becomes better. We don't need to know what is in the food that is served to us. We only need to know that it was made by our mother, and therefore we know that it is good. Our life is so simple when it is united to a mother. It is so secure, and it is so happy. And not only for a few moments, but all the way until the end of our days. Because a mother will never forget her son, and a mother will never forget her daughter. And Gale, before she came over to make this gift to the Blessed Virgin Mary, she said, "I do," to a young man, "for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and health, until death do us part." And therefore the Blessed Virgin will preserve the gift, not only for Gale, but for Timothy. And she will find a way to let whatever is good inside of this beautiful young lady, whatever is good inside of her, will somehow rub off unto Tim. And it is going to have to be very good because he is rather thick. But it will rub off somehow. And Mr. Tim, you'll be very wise if you realize that from this day forward, you will never see anything other than Miss Gale. And she will be the joy of your life and the reason of your life. No matter how far away you must travel, perhaps off into a far country in a war, or to some great distance in some work or necessity, no matter how far you go, this girl will never be away from your heart, and she'll never be out of your mind. The good husband, no matter how far he is from his love, will always think of her, will always love her, will hold a picture of her, not in his wallet, but in his heart. And that picture will always be good and will always be beautiful. Because as you progress in the years of marriage, Mr. Timothy, God wants to give you a new kind of eyes. The eyes to see into the soul. The eyes to see into the mind. And the eyes to see into the heart. These eyes give us peace and security. But they are eyes that cannot be trained by reading books. They are eyes that you will learn to have by paying attention to your mother. One beautiful truth about this sacred union of marriage between Mr. Timothy and Miss Gale is that they have so much in common. You know that it takes unity, it takes something in common for us to stay together. They say that opposites attract, and they do, because it's interesting for a while. And then they repel. It is what is common that holds us together. And the more that we have in common, the tighter will be the glue of this holy union. And Mr. Timothy and Ms. Gale have very much in common. They have the membership in the mystical body of Jesus Christ. They are members of one and the same body. Now, no one hurts his own flesh, says St. Paul, but he nourishes and he cherishes it. Well, they are members of one and the same body. And the more they realize how intimately united they are to that holy body that is our church, the more they will receive the power of love and a deeper understanding. And they have the same mother. Mr. Timothy has the same mother that Ms. Gale has. And that is the Blessed Virgin Mary. And these other beautiful mothers that brought these children into this world, they are only beautiful insofar as they are connected to the work of Mary. She is the one who gave us the example of how to be a mother and gave all goodness into the hearts of all women so that they would be able to naturally imitate their mother and carry a certain characteristics that come naturally into the female from her very beginning. She will carry motherhood inside of her that is so powerful inside the Mother of God that she simply puts it into all girls who just listen and pay attention to what they are. And then God blesses them with great strength and with great power. The power to transform the whole world. And Ms. Gale, you have this power. You have this very beautiful power. Use it. Use it well. And we pray this day that the church and the spirit of our beloved church enter into Mr. Timothy and Ms. Gale and fill them. Fill them with the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Fill them with sanctifying grace and the divine love. Fill them with the love of the mother. Give them new eyes to see their Father in heaven and their mother who is both in heaven and on earth. And this will create great joy. St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that wherever there is charity, that is, wherever there is love, there will be joy. It's just something that comes from love. When you see fire, very often you will see smoke. The smoke is something that just comes from the fire. And so likewise, true love just produces joy. It's just something that happens. And so, there is true love, however small and weak, in these two young ones here. Your love is now small, your love is now weak. But God will make it stronger. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And no man can destroy this holy and sacred union. And therefore, sickness and poverty will not cause even the slightest diminishing of the joy of Miss Gale and Mr. Tim. Because they are in the presence of the one that they love. And that one is Jesus Christ. That one is God. That one is His mother. That one is each other. And they will discover more and more how all these things are totally one. And then their love will become more powerful. And it will become a means to spread the knowledge and the love of God throughout the world, which is really what we are about. We are not here to eat and sleep and be merry and then die and rot. There is something of greater value in our lives. There is a greater purpose and a greater goal. And that purpose and that goal is to be with God forever. First to give Him glory, and then to share in that glory. And so today you give God glory. And He will let you share a little bit in it from the very beginning of this holy union. Giving your marriage from the beginning to God. And He will never forget that gift. And He will always reward you. And then remember, what do we do when we sin? What do we do when we fail? When human weakness comes forth? And Mr. Tim, who's going to cherish his wife, gets angry. And Miss Gail uses the power of her womanhood to get even. In all the million ways that only women know how. What will they do? They will be sorry. They will not become discouraged. They will go to the mother. They will go to the Blessed Virgin Mary. She will simply kiss the wound of your heart. She will simply put her hand upon you in some way. And all the sins will be forgotten. Forgotten forever. And then she will transform the heart. And there will be joy. And joy is simply defined, it is an effect of love. And it is simply defined as the rest in the presence of the beloved. That's all that joy is. To rest when we are around the one that we love. So there must be calmness in your daily life. Whether the bombs are dropping, whether things are well, no matter what is happening, it will be calmness of your spirit, calmness of your mind, calmness of your heart. And this calmness will help you to understand what really is the wisest and best thing to do in the decisions of daily life. And when a trial comes, you will embrace it. And you will find, as all good married couples do, it is the trials of marriage, it is the crosses that bring a man and woman together in a deeper bond of love. And so thank God for every cross, because it is a way to bring the two of you closer together. And there will be great joy. Our Lord promised that if we seek first the kingdom of God and His justice, then all other things will be added besides. We're going to get 100-fold of happiness here below, followed by perfect happiness in the next life. As long as God is a centerpiece, as long as no matter what you do, you go to your mother Mary, then you will have a beautiful and happy marriage. Not only of the supernatural happiness, but of great natural happiness. And so, all of you older married couples, today is a day to return to the purity and innocence and beauty of your marriage. We get distracted sometimes by the busyness of daily life and by our responsibilities and the cares of the world. Today is a good day to start anew and remember that there is only one care. And that is that weak man who is your husband, that weak lady who is your wife. And she is the ticket to his eternal salvation, eternal happiness. And he is the ticket to hers, not only in their good points, but in their weak. And so you will love the totality of each other today. You don't even know what that is yet because you've seen each other from the outside. In a few days, you'll discover, oh, I didn't know that he was that ugly. I didn't know this. I didn't know that. But you will love the totality. You love all of him, even the parts that you do not yet know. And you will learn to enjoy the snoring and all the other problems that come with marriage. You will learn to enjoy the fact that he repeats the exact same story over and over and over and over again. You'll long to hear it again. You will learn to love every aspect of each other And whether you be married for 50 or 100 years, there will be something else to learn and something else to love. Your marriage and your love will never grow cold if you always open your eyes to see the things that God wants you to see. Today, each day He gives us a new vision of a small something we didn't see before. But you have to attune your ears and attune your eyes to become accustomed to such sights. And so keep each other close in each other's hearts. And look to the Blessed Virgin. And then also, we'll have to close here. There are many other things to say on marriage. When we give a marriage retreat, we normally have 5 days of 2.5-hour conferences on the sacrament of marriage. So we're not going to go through everything here. But nonetheless, you're going to receive a nuptial blessing, which we have to just mention briefly. A sacred consecration is going to come to Gail in a few moments. And because she's going to be consecrated, this consecration is going to overflow into Mr. Timothy. By her being blessed, he is blessed. In her beauty, he is rejoiced. In her goodness, he is sanctified. Today, the church focuses only on Miss Gail. We honor Timothy because he's the closest to her on this day. But it is in Gail that we are happy. And so the church is going to bless you, Miss Gail, with the consecration that will carry you all of your days. You're going to be blessed by the holy women, the greatest women in history. Firstly, of course, the Blessed Virgin, but then the great women of the Old Testament, Rachel and Sarah and Rebecca. Truly great women. I will read the nuptial blessing. It will be read in English. Pay close attention to the beautiful words contained therein. The wisdom of Rebecca, the fidelity of Sarah, and the longevity of life, and the belovedness of Rachel. Rachel was so beloved that her husband waited 14 years to marry her, and that was Jacob. Rebecca, who was so wise, she was able to make sure that Jacob received his birthright when it was not the wish of Isaac that it be done. And then she brought everyone together, Isaac and Esau and Jacob. And Sarah, who was faithful, even though her husband did nothing good for her, gave her no children. And yet she was faithful and loved him dearly. And so likewise, the blessings of these holy women of the Old Testament are going to be poured inside of you. You're going to carry something of them the rest of your days. And you will be sacred. You begin your sacredness by the exchanging of the vows, but in a few moments you will become even more sacred. And remember the sacredness. One reason why you carry a train behind you as you walk with a wedding dress is because wherever a mother walks, she leaves something behind. She carries her virtues with her. She carries her love. She carries her dignity, and it touches the very earth itself, and it leaves itself behind, so that land is holy that she has touched, and all the people that she has come into contact with are made a little bit better because of the contact with a good mother. A good mother and a good wife has power that no one else has, and so use it, and your power is in your goodness, Miss Gail. Maintain goodness and simplicity all your days, and you'll have a beautiful life. And then I'll close it at that, one more last thing. And that is that, and Ms. Jackie was a beautiful singing to Our Lady, and that you unite yourself in a beautiful way in the singing to Our Lady for this new couple. And that the Ave Maria, that prayer that we say so often, has so many beautiful truths within it. And the great truth at the end is, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And that is the fruit of your womb, Ms. Gail. You have a little sanctuary inside of you. You will carry Jesus Christ in a certain way into the world. For every child that is born to you, you will first unite to him, make a member of him, And when that child grows, boy or girl, you will teach the child about the love of God from the very beginning. And in this way, they will become Jesus. And Jesus will also be the fruit of your womb. And therefore, it is a beautiful union in Mary, in Christ, and in the church. And we'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.